first had refused. Then he was called forth into the way. There came one running and kneeled to him, and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now one more scripture from the book of Acts, chapter 8. Book of Acts, chapter 8. Verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And the Lord was left believing his precious word. There were those that professed to believe on Christ, but they were not real. They simply believed about him, but they did not believe in him. And when they turned from the Lord, when the Lord gave a test, and that was the test of his own godhood. The person of Christ was the test of every profession. And when they went away from him, he turned to the 12, and he said, Will ye also go away? And Simon on behalf of the others said, To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now that confession was from the heart. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm sure, dear friend, that question comes up in all our hearts. To whom shall we go? Where will we turn to? The world is in confusion, religious confusion. To whom shall we go? And there is only one that has the words of eternal life. And oh, that someone may say tonight, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But they went away. They left the light. They went into death. They left the light. They went into darkness. They left the Savior. They went into confusion. And our Savior said to the 12, To whom will ye also go away? And Simon Peter says, No, we won't. Thou hast the words of eternal life. And I have read about four men that went away tonight. I have read about one, and he went away despising. And that was Esau. He despised his birthright. Chose it for a mess of pottage. Forfeited everything. For just a little satisfaction here. Not like many today. And let me say, dear friend, it is the birthright of every child of Adam to be loved of God. There's not a soul in our world but what is not the object of the love of God. It is the birthright of every soul to be atoned for by Christ. Not only did he die for those that trust him, but we read that he tasted death for every man. So that there is, in the work of Christ, that potential to meet the need of whosoever will. It is the birthright of every child of Adam to be dealt with by God the Spirit. When the Spirit of God comes to grips with the Spirit of man, there is a wrestle that goes on within that bosom. It is a battle for decision. And our Savior would say to everyone, will you also go away? Esau went away despising. And he sold his spiritual right for a mess of pottage. But I have read of another man that went away in a rage. He was a great man. But you know, in the chapter before, there is a great woman. But the difference between these two great persons is simply this. That the woman was great in the eyes of God. And the man was only great in the eyes of his master. But that greatness is brought down to nothing. We read, he was a leper. That reduces human greatness, doesn't it? But he is a sinner. And that is true of every one of us. And this, dear friend, leaves us paupers in the very sight of God, a leper, a spiritual sinner in the sight of God. And when that little maid told him that there was a sure remedy, he picked up all that he had and he went to the nation of Israel. But do you know what Elijah said? He didn't even come out as much and said hello to him. He sent his servant. And he says, wash and be clean. That was too simple for a great man, wasn't it? And he cried, are not Pharpa and the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And he turned and he went away in a rage. You know, a servant saw the foolishness of the man. And they said, Master, if the prophet had told thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? You know, dear friend, if you would ask people to pay for salvation, they would really pay for it. Look at all the appeals on the radio for money, and people dig into their pocket, and they send, and they think they're going to pay their way to heaven. And if you were asked to do some great thing, wouldst thou not do it? But when God simply says, wash and be clean, you turn away. And you leave the only remedy for sin. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty sins. I'm glad Naaman turned back. I'm glad he changed his mind. And he discovered that the message was a true one. Wash and be clean. Dear friend, if you turn away from the blood of Christ, there's no other message. There's no other remedy. There is absolutely no other hope. And so many like me, they turn away in a rage. I've read of a young man that turned away sorrow. Our Lord had said to him, he said, there's one thing that you lack. There were many things that that young man did not lack. He didn't lack zeal. We are told he came running to Christ. That boy was in earnest. And he didn't lack reverence. He kneeled in the very presence of Christ. And that young man did not lack morality. He said, all these things have I kept from my youth. And he didn't like religion and the true religion. He said he was a ruler of the synagogue. And yet our Savior said, there is one thing that you do not. We've all seen a statue. It has the features of a man. And we say, what a marvelous work of art. It has every feature. It just looks like a man. And then you say, there's one thing that is life. What is it? Why, it's life, dear friend. Life, eternal life. There's many a religious man or woman. Many a moral man and a moral woman. And you say, how beautiful is respectability in a world of defilement. And yet we say, there is one thing that's lacking, and that is life. Morality does not impart it. Religion will not give it. Respectability cannot buy it. There is only one thing, dear friend, by which we may receive it, and that is as a gift from God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are not told his name, this rich young ruler that came to Christ that day. We only know that he had great possessions and that he went away. He went away, he kept his earthly treasure. But oh, at what a cost! Afraid to take the cross and trust in Jesus. And God and heaven were lost. So for the tinsel toy of earthly pleasure, what treasure he let slip, comrade of Paul and John and friend of Jesus, what glorious fellowship. For they who leave their all to trust the Savior have found a deathless fame on his immortal scroll of saint and martyr. God writes each shining name. We should have read it there. This rich young ruler, if he had stayed that day, but namely, though Jesus loved him, because he went away. Will you also go away? Esau went away despising. Naaman went away in a rage. The rich young ruler went away sad. He was grieved, for he was not willing to pay the price. Oh, you say, I thought it was without money and without place. So it is, dear friend. But there is the price of true surrender to Christ. The price of a complete capitulation, so that as a sinner you cry, I yield, I can't hold out no more. I sink my dying love compelled to only conqueror. Will you also go away? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But we have read of a man that went away rejoicing. The unsaved may despise. They may be angry. They may be sad and grieved at the proclamation of the gospel. But for those that receive, our brother was saying, they began to be men. Before that we read that he began to be in one. But here, they began to be merry, and there was a peace, and there was joy. When the prodigal came home, this man, the eunuch, traveling through the desert, he had fed on religion for 7 days in Jerusalem. But he, in the middle of that desert, his soul was as dry as the sand upon which he rode. But he had a Bible. And thank God for a Bible in the wilderness. And he was reading Isaiah 53. And he read these words, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of his own. Of whom speaketh the prophet, he said? Of himself. Or of another man. And Philip began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. He had never heard it before. It was Jesus that was wounded for his transgression, who was bruised for his iniquity, and the punishment with a view to his peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And do you know the eunuch took it in? He said, I believe. You can almost see the man's soul going out in a simple trust of the Savior. I believe that he was wounded for me, that he was bruised under the weight of my guilt. But by his rights, I am healed. By his rights, I am healed. Now he says, I'm ready to be baptized. But Philip wasn't going to rush him into the water. He says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he made a public confession of his faith in Christ that very moment. No wonder that he went away rejoicing. And we use the words of our Savior tonight. Will you also go away? But how will you go? Like Esau, a despiser. Like Naaman, in anger. Like the rich young ruler, sad and grieved, because you will not surrender to Christ. and lay your deadly goons down, not this blessed people. But let the eunuch, let you trust him, let you receive him, let you rest your all upon him for eternity. And if you do, like that man, you will go away rejoicing. Rejoicing in the knowledge of sins forgiven. Rejoicing in the knowledge of eternal life. Of peace and joy and hope. Rejoicing. There's many a soul like the prodigal, dear friend, that cried, I have sinned, and did nothing more about it. King Saul of old cried, I have sinned. And he died under the frown of an angry God. Cain cried, I have sinned. And became a vagabond from God, a fugitive. Judas Iscariot cried, I have sinned. But his repentance was only inward, it wasn't toward God. The prodigal said, I have sinned. And he followed it with, I will arise and go to my father. And he did. And the only time we see God in a hurry is when he's running to pardon the sin. And he did it with the prodigal. And he threw it with you. The faintest note of repentance will bring God to the very presence of a soul. And he'll save that soul the very moment that one believes in Jesus. Will you trust him? Will you receive him? And will you go on your way rejoicing? May it be so for his name's sake. Now shall we say, our Father, wilt thou bless thy word? We thank thee, Lord, for the wonderful grace of our God, receiving the promises, bringing them into thine own bosom, planting the kiss of pardon on the cheek, the sandals of sonship upon the feet, and the ring of union upon the hand. O God, may someone know the blessedness of the returning prodigal tonight. We pray it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ.